This, in fact, these topics which I present are very technical, but if you, and I can understand that you do not have really technical questions, because this is, especially phased payments and combination, this, this will be first time that you see this, because we did not produce yet the guidance note. But if you have even general questions, please do not hesitate to ask. The note on the guidance note on payments, this note is now in the finalization. We have produced the first version for February this year, and we presented this note to the member states in EGESIF committee. And then in the EGESIF committee, we got a lot of questions from the member states and a lot of requests for additional clarification, or there was some request to add numerical example in the guidance note. So now we are really revising, or in a way extending, the note, and we hope that the note will be finalized and ready by summer. Why we produce this note? This is also another important question. Phased payments is something new. This is what Rachel mentioned at the beginning. This is one of the main novelties in the new framework. So managing authorities, but also fund managers, they wanted to see what is this novelty about and how we can explain this novelty. So the novelty prompted the question. But also itself, Article 41 is, when you open the regulation, it is quite technical and detailed. So even if someone wants to read it and reread, there might be some different possible understandings of the text. So it was important that we explain how the Commission sees these provisions, and it was important to clarify the rules. You see here on the slide that I start with two concepts, and I think these concepts, because they appear in the guidance note on phased payments, it is important to explain them. And we learned already from member states that there is a misunderstanding on these two main concepts. And if there is a misunderstanding of these concepts, there will be for sure misunderstanding on the entire guidance note. First of all, what we mean by ESIF program contribution. We use it very often, not only in this guidance note, but also in others. ESIF program contributions means not only ESIF support, but support of ESIF and the match funding, the national co-financing. So when we speak about program contribution, this automatically covers ESIF plus national co-financing. The other concept is the concept of national co-financing at the level of the financial instrument operation. And here in the note on phased payments, we very often speak about national co-financing. There's also novelty linked with the national co-financing. Here we have to remember that the national co-financing in the fund itself, the contribution from the national co-financing in the fund, can be completely different than it is in the priority axis. We may have a different co-financing rates at the priority level and at the level of the operation, and financial instrument, it is an operation. So we may have this difference. National co-financing can be public and private, or can be public and or private. It depends how the program is set up and how the priorities are set up. You may have, I don't know from which countries you are, but you may have in your country, in your region, programs which are based on public funding. Then it means that any national co-financing which comes to the program, to the priority, must be public, and only public funding can be declared to the Commission as eligible expenditure. Or you may have a program on total funding. These are all programs in UK, if I'm not wrong, where not only the public funding, but also private funding, provided it complies with the eligibility rules, can be declared to the Commission as eligible expenditure. So this really depends how the priority axis and program is organized. And one important information, this is only in financial instruments, national co-financing can come at different levels. So the national co-financing can be already organized by the managing authority. So when managing authority implements the financial instruments and contributes to financial instrument, then already this national co-financing comes in together with ESI funds. But this national co-financing can come also later in the cycle. It can come at the level of the fund of funds. Maybe another slide shows it better. Yeah, here you have a picture. So you see the co-financing can come at different levels, at the level of the fund of fund, also at the level of the financial intermediary, or at the level of the investment in final recipients. These are these green arrows. What is important here is that the own contribution by the final recipient, so for example, own contribution of an enterprise to the project, does not and cannot count as national co-financing. So even if the enterprise brings its own money to the project, we will never consider this as a national co-financing of the program, which can then constitute eligible expenditure. In phased payments, there are three main novelties. The first novelty is that the payments are phased. You may have normally you will have four tranches of 25%, maximum 25%, but the member states may also ask for less. So member states may ask for 10% tranche, which would mean that you have more tranches, but of less, of lower percentage. Usually we see that this will be the maximum possible requested, because then it creates for the managing authority a liquidity problem. So the first novelty is that these are the tranches. The second important feature of this novelty is that the payments, these tranches, are linked to the performance. So we need to have expenditure on the ground, we need to have final recipients supported in order to ask for another payment. Actually, only the first payment, the first tranche, is automatic, so to speak. And this is given only to allow for a smooth start of the instrument. But the second, third, and next tranches, they will be always linked to the implementation on the ground. And the more advanced we are in the implementation, the higher percentage will be asked to present as eligible expenditure. So you see, say it here, 60% of the expenditure is needed for the second application, but already for the next, this is 85%. So the implementation must be really at a full speed. And the third feature is linked to the national co-financing. Normally, managing authority can declare to the Commission real payments. So if managing authority pays money to the financial instrument, contributes from the managing authority to financial instrument, based on this payment, managing authority can prepare a payment application and send it to the Commission for reimbursement. And this is the standard procedure also for grants, that the payment must first happen. The exception in financial instrument is that for the national co-financing, so for part of the program resources, managing authority can declare to the Commission also the expenditure which in fact did not happen yet, because the national co-financing does not need to be paid yet. Managing authority has the right to declare to the Commission national co-financing which is envisaged to be brought into the system, but it does not happen or it does not need to happen yet. So this is for the first time that in a way managing authority can declare something which is still envisaged to be brought to the instrument. So these are the three main features of the phased payments. The questions the question about the applicability of this system and of this phased payments. It is applicable nearly to all financial instruments. The exception is the SME initiative. For the SME initiative, under Article 39, there is a different payment scheme. It is not that we pay without any rules. We pay still with some conditions and rules, but this is differently organized. And another financial instrument where this will not be seen is a financial instrument where managing authority gives loans or guarantees directly to the final recipients, because in this situation managing authority does not set up a fund, so there is no need to pay contribution from the managing authority to the fund, because managing authority keeps this fund itself. So these are the two exceptions. And now the question about the applicability of these rules in relation to the to which level they apply. Formally, the regulation speaks about the relation between the Commission and the Member States. So in a way, formally, this article is about the payment flow from the Commission to the managing authority or to the Member States, and flow of the information from the Member States from the managing authority, to the Member States. And we received quite clear questions from the Member States and from the fund managers whether this phased payment schedule has to be repeated in the relations between the managing authority and fund manager. So this was a question whether this also is applicable there. And our reply is that formally it is not, because indeed Article 41 does not speak about this level. But this is our clear recommendation, that also in the relation between the managing authority and fund manager, the tranching and the same idea should be somehow reflected and mirrored. Of course, there are some cases where there is a need to deviate from this system, but generally we would like to see this system repeated at the lower level. I think this is for paper. Yes. So maybe if you have...
maybe some questions?
The questions which you noted, you can now read out.
Exactly. Also working capital. Very technical, I understand.
Yeah. I do not understand it either, so...
Oh, you do very well. I was thinking one question, Hannah. Did I understand you correctly that the owner contribution from a company, an enterprise, does not count as co-financing? And that means that doesn't that discourage enterprises from financing with their own contribution?
Thank you for your question. Yes, indeed, we see it as a difference, especially when you know grants, how grants work. Because in grants, you may have a situation that you give a support from the program to the grant beneficiary. Grant beneficiary adds its own contribution, public or private, and its own contribution can count as eligible expenditure. It can be declared to the Commission, so it is also part of the project, eligible project. In financial instruments, it does not work like this. And the reason is that in financial instruments, the eligible expenditure which can be declared to the Commission, and this is clearly written in the regulation, is the payment to final recipient. So it must be something coming from outside into the final recipients which is eligible. And of course, we encourage very much that the final recipient has its own contribution. This is also, I think, market practice, and banks also like to have to see the own contribution of the enterprise in the project. Also for state aid rules, you have to be careful, because in some state aid regimes, in the regional aid, there is a requirement of having 25% of contribution which is state aid free, meaning there is no public intervention. And then the beneficiary, the enterprise, needs to bring its own 25%, but this is not in our rules, but rather in the state aid rules. Nevertheless, this own contribution cannot be indeed declared as eligible expenditure. This counts as an impact, and we are happy to see it, because then it means that with our little amount we manage to achieve even more. But this is not national co-financing in the meaning of the program, and it doesn't count as leverage either. So this own contribution does not count neither as a national co-financing nor as leverage indeed.
Thank you.